We are back. Sports Talk Radio Network. Phil Kornblut, Rick Sanford, Matt Smith from our studios in Columbia. Quick update on Wofford, 23-20. Terriers been trailing all the first half, continued to Greensboro, 5:44 to go in the first half, Southern Conference Championship game. Well, South Carolina baseball team popping up now in the national rankings after a sweep of Valpo over the weekend, had some big offense, had some excitement, had some tight games. Coach Mark Kingston joining us now here on Sports Talk. Coach, good to have you with us. Congratulations on the weekend. When you look back over what your team accomplished this past weekend, did you see a team that was taking the step forward that you would want to take now that SEC play is coming up this coming weekend?
Well, I think we're getting better. Obviously, there's some areas that have been very good for us so far, and there's some areas of improvement that are still needed. So I think the entire season is a marathon. You have ebbs and flows, and there's areas and times you get a lot better. There's times where you're not playing as well as you want, so you just have to continue to make adjustments and evaluate as you go and make improvements as you need to.
Well, one of the heroes yesterday was Ian Jenkins, and what a story that he told afterwards. I guess those of us who aren't, there with you every day didn't realize what this young man had gone through to get to the point where he could help your baseball team. Looking at his swing yesterday and the power he displayed in that home run, I got to believe now, staying healthy, that's a guy that can help you.
Well, he's an option. There's no doubt about it. He's a kid that's gone through a lot, as you mentioned, with the injuries and just one thing after another, one tough break after another. But he loves to play. He loves to hit. He loves to study hitting and talk hitting and loves to be in the cages. And so to get him an opportunity this past weekend and to see him take advantage of it, you know, it's one of those things that makes coaching really enjoyable. And now hopefully it's also a good thing for our team that maybe we have another weapon, another option there in the lineup to continue to make our lineup stronger.
Coach, opening up in the SEC this weekend against Georgia, who's a strong team, top 10 team right now, give us a little mini breakdown on them if you can.
Well, they're really good. You know, they're ranked in the top five in some polls, and they swept us last year at their place, and they're just as strong this year. They added a very high draft pick, a kid that turned down over $2 million to their pitching staff, and they lost very little off their pitching from last year. It's a powerful team. They've got some guys that can steal bases, so it's a complete team. It's Scott Strickland is a good friend of mine. He's their head coach, and he's been there now. I believe this is his sixth year. The first 4 years, he struggled to get it going again. And last year, they turned the corner and hosted a regional, and this year they look to be even better than they were last year. So it'll be a great challenge for us.
Mark Kingston joining us. His Gamecocks sweeping Valparaiso. They're at the Citadel tomorrow. And, Coach, with the way Jenkins and Hopkins and Olsen were seeing the ball, I'm guessing they didn't want a day off today. But what can you tell us about the way those guys hit in terms of approach? What are they doing that's so right now?
Well, you know, we have an approach offensively. It's not one size fits all, but it's what we think is a very professional approach in terms of we're going to be very aggressive. And, you know, the big, strong guys like that you just mentioned, that aggressiveness is definitely their friend. You want them hopping on the first good pitch that they think they can really drive. But we also need to combine that with some discipline. And when those guys get in trouble, they start to swing outside the zone. They start to get a little bit overly aggressive, and now they're starting to get themselves out. If they're aggressive but within the strike zone, then they are really tough to deal with, and they can have big weekends and have a great season like they're having so far. So to me, those big, strong guys like that, they want to be aggressive, but you want to make sure it's aggressive within the strike zone. Then they're not allowing the pitchers to make them get themselves out.
I want to talk defense with you for a moment. You've kind of settled in, it looks like, defensively. You've got the average fielding percentage up to .972. George Kahlil, who's playing short now, no errors thus far, but he's only hitting .111. So can you live with a low batting average at that position as long as the fielding remains strong?
You can. I mean, it's not ideal, but, some guys are brought in for their bats, and you hope that, you know, you can improve their defense, and some guys are brought in for their defense, and that you hope that they can hit enough to help you as well. obviously George right now is a defense first player, but he's playing a really good shortstop for us. And with the type of power production we have throughout the rest of the lineup, if he can play that kind of defense and we can continue to swing the bats the way we have, then I think you have the best offense and defense you can. So obviously we'll evaluate as we go, but if the rest of the guys are swinging the bats like they are, then and we can survive with a plus defender regardless of what he does offensively.
Yep, and conversely, you look at Luke Berryhill, who's been great for you at the plate, leading you in RBIs, got 5 home runs, good batting average. He's committed 5 errors. And to me, I don't know, that seems like a high number for 16 games for a catcher, committing 5 errors in 16 games. Am I kind of correct about that, or is that about what you would expect?
I consider that an aberration. I think it's a little bit of a fluke. He's thrown 3 balls away on the bases, all of which he probably should have just eaten and not thrown at all. So, and that's something we've shown him, we've talked about, and I don't think those errors will be repeated. But it's part of new players at this level playing for the first time, the speed of the game, and sometimes the brains are not going quite as fast as the action on the field. So you have to learn from those things. But our defense is now up to 972, as you mentioned, and 5 of our errors are from the catcher position, which is a rare thing, and 2 of them are from pitchers slipping on balls in front of the mound. So 7 of the 17 errors are, I would consider, almost fluke errors, and you factor those into moving forward. I don't expect those to repeat themselves very often. And I think you're looking at close to between a 977 and a 980 team. And last year we fielded 980, and that put us in the top 10 in the country. So I think our defense is solidified, and I think it'll be something that doesn't cost us too many games.
Coach, with Hopkins hitting for the cycle over the weekend, that was quite an accomplishment, obviously. But what are you hearing from professional scouts regarding him and possibly where he could be selected?
Well, it's too early to say where he's going to be selected, but they do all understand his talent. They all appreciate what he brings to the field every day, and he's a 5-tool player, and I think for them, they want to see that he stays healthy all season, that he can be durable. Obviously we play 56 regular season games, and professional baseball, they play 141 or 142 during the regular season. In the big leagues, they play 162. So the talent is unquestioned. It's just a matter of him continuing to stay healthy and prove that he can post every day.
All right, so down to Charleston tomorrow. What are your pitching plans there, and anything? And then we'll for the weekend, you can tell us what you're thinking about there. But what's your pitching plans tomorrow night?
We'll go Daniel Lloyd, freshman, talented freshman. He used this weekend out of the pen. He was 92 to 94, has a good slider, but just is another guy that needs experience. We need to get him out there pitching and getting better and getting a feel for this level. Probably won't throw him too long. Ideally, we'd like to throw guys in a manner that they're all available for the weekend, because with our injuries right now, we can't afford to go into an SEC weekend shorthanded any more than we already are. So Danny will start tomorrow. Hopefully he'll give us a couple good innings, and then we'll move on to the next guy, and then he'll be ready to go for the weekend out of the pen.
And this weekend, you go the same as you did this past weekend?
To be determined. I wouldn't guarantee we'll go the same way. We're going to continue to evaluate it, but you might see a tweak here or there.
Okay. Morgan threw 121 pitches. Were you comfortable as you were getting to that total? How are you feeling about that in the dugout?
No, he started that last inning with 99 pitches, and he averages about 12 pitches a game. So 110 is generally the area where we say we're going to get a guy out. The problem was the last batter of the game that he faced fouled off a bunch of pitches and got that pitch. Had a 10-plus pitch at bat, and so that's why the number got to 120. But that's a one-time thing, and we plan on getting him out at 110. That last batter just kept fouling ball after ball after ball, and then as soon as he got that guy out, we brought in the next guy.
How did he feel the next day?
He felt good. He's one of those kids that just got the very loose body, almost a rubber-type arm, and so he'll be ready to go this weekend, no doubt about it.
Sir, we thank you very much as always. Congratulations on the weekend, and good luck against the Citadel down there and this coming week against Georgia. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. Mark Kingston, South Carolina baseball coach.